Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Good evening, gentlemen. Can I get a woof?
Woof!
Can I get a big solid grrr? Grrr! Welcome to Mr. Bear Australasia 2011.
And welcome to the June of 2011. I'm Cookie.
I'm Kevin.
And I'm Jack.
And this is the Cubby House for the wrap-up version of Southern Hibernation 2011. Our final hurrah and salute to the week that was.
That's right, gentlemen. We made it through.
Woohoo!
It's been months in planning. And it's been 7 days of non-stop partying. It's crazy, and we're exhausted,
8 days,
man.
Jack. 8 days. 8 days of absolute insanity.
I don't know about you, but I think I know for a fact I'm not only running on adrenaline, but cough medicine as well now.
Well, I always like to mix Barocca and Red Bull. Always makes a fantastic combination for a bit of energy.
But this is the Cubby House Live, the Bear and Cub radio show on Joy 94.9, broadcasting from Melbourne out to the world. We're spreading our love across the universe.
Oh, and our hugs, apparently, too, this week. We've been total cuddle sluts, I know that much. Because hibernation this week has been from last Sunday all the way through to this Sunday just gone, actually. And we've done every single event that was on the grid for the whole 8 days. And we'll be bringing you a bit of a wrap-up and actually interviewing some of the people who have decided to stick around for one more night.
We got the collar on them so they couldn't leave early.
I'm sure some of them like that.
But I think that we all got touched in our own little way during hibernation this year.
What? Jack, keep that to yourself. Honestly.
I don't want to know your sexual fantasy,
I mean,
Jack.
It was crazy. I mean, we had ice skating bears and we had karaoke superheroes and even a wedding engagement. It was beautiful.
Aww. But to...
Hold on. Didn't we also have someone auctioned off because they had a bit of a dry week?
Yeah.
Who was that? I can't remember. Cookie, you remember?
I think it was, the slogan was dig deep so you can dig deeper for a particular ranger.
It was you, Jack, wasn't it?
It was me that you're responsible for this, Kevin.
Take claim for that as well.
I just happened to tell you that I've been having a slow 2 years, and you go telling the president of the club, and before I knew it, I was being auctioned off to a crowd of people to the highest bidder.
And how much did you sell for, Jack?
I was able to raise $100 to the Gay and Lesbian Archives.
Woo-hoo, congratulations! Well done. Congratulations. Sell your body for more.
I had a very gracious master, actually, that we did a bit of dancing, and after that he gave me the order to find the hottest daddy that I could find and then bone him senseless.
And did you?
I couldn't find him because he wasn't interested.
Must have been taken by a few of the other chasers that were floating around. Speaking of which, I know a particular daddy chaser who's hung around, and we'll be speaking with him a little bit later. It is the one and only Western Australia, Mr. West Oz Bear for 2011. It is Mr. Ash Unicum, and one of his counterparts that was in the competition this week was a Queenslander by the name of Kieran Munn. So we'll be having a chat with him later, as well as two guys from the filming crew that we've had around this week, Chris and Andy from Number 8 Films.
Excellent. But we also have an SMS topic because we're interested in hearing what you have to say. So what is your favourite Southern Hibernation moment of all time? Now, you can send that in to us via SMS at 0427 JOY 949. For those of you that are on iPhones, that's 0427569949.
But if you have an iPhone, then you can also download the Joy app. You can send in your messages straight to the studio using the app, and it's free!
Joy 94.9, you are listening to the Cubby House, preferably with the microphones on. You are listening to the Cubby House on Joy 94.9.
This is my first time driving the operated pedal in years. It's
That's
exciting.
That's right, we really should have warned people. Jack's in charge.
Oh God, a ringer at the controls. Help, God help us all.
On the subject of rangers at the control, Matt Cutler of Hoppers Crossing.
Damn, that's my suburb.
Bacchus Marsh.
Bacchus Marsh
won the Mr. Australasia Bear Contest last Saturday night. He's a ranger, king of the rangers.
I feel proud.
I feel proud, but I'm worried about what this year entails if this is the year of the ranger.
Yeah, considering we've got Julia Gillard, we've got Matt Cutler and Jack at the operating controls tonight. What's next?
The New World Order is coming, and it has red hair. I assure you that. So anyway, Southern Hibernation this year, I think it just grew up a little bit this year. That we've had a bigger media presence, we've had more events, and it's exciting.
Well, do you reckon the bigger media presence is probably because we've been a lot more facilitating in the fact that this event is been going to be run, and we've actually got a lot more people on board in terms of promoting it this year?
I think we were just incredibly lucky to have one hell of a committee this year. I'm sorry, I'm going to take a shout out to the eight of us that got together and organized this event. We had one hell of a team.
You did indeed.
But previous committees with Vic Bears have had quite a bit of trouble actually getting any attention at all towards Hibernation, because the Bears have been a bit of a fringe group, and every year they'd be brought up into Joy and ask the same three questions: what is a bear, what is Hibernation, and a third question which I can't think of right now.
Well, but, at least you know.
But we've had articles, we've had guides in the newspapers. We've been brought up to the Joy buildings several times over.
I think they just love bears now.
We're becoming mainstream. And if I were a hipster, I'd say I was into it before it was cool.
You were into it before it was cool, Jack.
However, because I'm into it, it's not cool. Laura.
True.
Look, I don't think this is an issue. I love it. I love the fact that we have a presence out there. I love the fact that we have more people coming to our events. We have more events going on. It just means we can do more for the community. And the charity that we managed to run for this year was the Gay and Lesbian Archives. And it just means more money for them.
Tell me, I'm all up for it. How much did the event actually raised for the archives?
You will get to find that out at the next Den Night, so feel free to come along.
Fair enough. So, apparently we've got an award, Jack, that I believe you came up with in particular from our show, The Cubby House, to give to a particular person this year. Now, what was the award?
That's right. Every year at Hibernation, there tends to be one person that comes along and steals our hearts away. Ash Utecombe, that was 2009, he won the Cubby House Pieces of My Heart Award, but unfortunately he doesn't count this year.
No, we found out that he doesn't have beer-flavoured nipples, so...
That is much disappointment, but something else came along, and I've got my envelope here, let me just tear it open. Actually, that was just a piece of paper, but it sounded good.
Going for props, Jack.
The winner of the Pieces of My Heart Award goes to the 20-year-old Arthur Milne! The statuesque hirsute had the crowd's jaws squarely on the floor for the entire time.
Actually, one of my favourite moments of Southern Hibernation this year was watching this man try and play a game of bingo. Laurie Lane.
God bless.
God bless Laurie Lane. Was trying to get him as naked as he possibly could.
So, Arthur...
Love you, Arthur.
The Pieces of Our Heart Award will be sent to your address soon, preferably not fresh. It's symbolic. It's not a literal piece of my heart.
Quite true. Joy 94.9, you are with The Cubby House. And one thing I would like to let you all know... there was a very special moment, and I think it was a showstopper for the whole hibernation, when the winner of Mr. Australasia Bear 2011, as part of his fantasy section, did something very different, and I don't think it's been seen in any hibernation in the past 15 years. And it's a question of, is this year the year of maturity for Southern Hibernation to show such a profound act in such a competition? Here is the audio of what happened on that night.
Once again, from Bacchus Marsh, uh-oh, here's the ranger, here's Matt!
For my fantasy sequence this evening, I thought long and hard. I know that some of the other guys are probably going to do fictitious little things. Some of the other guys may be fulfilling their fantasies later tonight, but I'm hoping to fulfil my fantasy this evening, or at least start the process. Now, I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm not going to ask Pete McKinnon to come up on stage with me. However, I would like somebody else to come and join me on stage. Mr. Tony Krause, could you please come up here? For those of you who don't know Tony, this is my partner, Tony. Tony, this is everybody. Let's work that up here. We're chalking cheese, you and me. I'm no twink and you're no bear, but we've been together for 4.5 years now, and you know, it works. We've had some amazing times together. We've had some rough patches too, but you know, that's part of life, and we get through it. They say that you measure a person's wealth not by how many digits they have in their bank account, but by the number of people that love them. You've got to be one of the richest people in the world, huh? Your family, my family, your work colleagues, your CFA colleagues, right? The respect that you get from people makes me one of the luckiest people in the world to have in my life. So tonight, for my fantasy that I'm hoping can maybe become a reality one day, Tony, I can't see a future for me without you. Right? I really can't. Right? Will you please make me the happiest little wrangler in the world?
Now, if you missed that final comment, it was, let's get some effing sense in this country so two people who love each other can get married.
Woohoo!
I don't think he could have put it any other way.
I love that clip because you can actually tell exactly when he goes down on his knees and exactly when Tony says yes. The crowd just goes wild!
Of course.
And of course you can hear Ricky Cooper yelling very, very, very loudly because the microphone was accidentally in front of him.
Yes, yes.
I was actually quite touched by the entire sentiment of it all, that I'm generally not the most vocal supporter of same-sex marriage, but even I couldn't help be touched by the outpouring of affection and support that that Matt and his partner Tony?
Yes,
Tony. Yes, that Tony got on Saturday night.
Well, it's a good example of why people in the community, having it being so fragmented, in saying that, you know, even if you don't want marriage for yourself, look at somebody like Matt and Tony, and if you weren't there that night, you can't deny that if you don't want it for yourself, at least fight for the people who do want it, such as them. And, you know, I had a private conversation with Matt later on, and he said he doesn't want to go to New Zealand to get a civil commitment. He doesn't want to go to Canada to get a legal or recognised marriage over there. He wants to have it in his own country. So if you can't have it for yourself, at least fight for those who can.
It's also sort of an argument against these people that say homosexuals that want marriage are just after heteronormative behaviour. Because I've met both of them, and they're the most lovable, masculine guys that I've ever seen, and there was nothing about their gender that was in about that. It was them expressing their love for each other. It was as simple as that.
If you'd like to see a little bit more of what happened, we will be having photos and the audio on our website, thecubbyhouse.net.au. You're on Joy 94.9.
All your favourite shows all weekend, only on Joy 94.9.
Mr. Congeniality Bear goes to, from WA, it is Ash. Yeah! Congratulations, you did get a prize.
Second runner-up of Mr. Australasia Bear 2011 goes to, can I have a drum roll? Contestant number nine, George Sherwell. You're really sticky.
Okay, second prize for Mr. Australasia 2011, the runner-up, it is Ash from WA. Yeah. Yeah. Craig, would you please do the honors of opening the envelope and announcing the winner of Mr. Australasia Bear 2011. Drum roll.
Matt Cutler.
Joy 94.9.
As you heard, that was the final results of who won the Mr. Australasia Bear competition prizes. I'm still stoked at the fact that after what I saw, Matt won, but I cannot help but think that some of the other prizes were very well deserving, particularly to Ash, considering he's sitting right next to me and I'm about to be poked very harshly if I don't say something like that. But also to George, who's a partner of the DJ Cam Shafadi, who you may know. I think they were the out of the three, the most well-spoken out of the nine contestants. And I keep referring to this funny little joke that if you've ever seen Star Trek Voyager, there was a really, really prominent character that all the straight boys used to go for, the character Seven of Nine. Well, I finally found the gay equivalent, and it is Mr. Unicum, who is the seventh contestant of nine.
Thank you.
I'm Cookie. I'm going to tell you to shut up. Hello, Ash. How are you?
Hi. I'm amazing. How are you?
Really?
Yes. I've had such an amazing week, and I got to sleep today, so I'm pretty happy.
Woohoo! That's when did you get into town, by the way?
Thursday afternoon. I was supposed to get in Wednesday night, but there was some big cloud in the sky that stopped me. So.
I hear it was the Chile volcano that caused a lot of air issues from people getting into town.
Yes, the ash stopped the ash.
Oh, thank God someone else made that joke, not me.
I got your back, buddy. I got your back.
Sweet. We've also got in the studio Mr. Kieran Munn.
How you doing?
Good, you?
Yeah, not too bad tonight.
Now, I believe we had an interview the ages ago, which hasn't been played yet, but you were part of Hibernation last year, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
Now, just briefly, was there any particular reason you came down and participated in the competition this year?
Probably more two main reasons. The first being the fact that since the last Hibernation, I had lost a buttload of weight and really wanted to come out of my shell and show everyone how much more confident a person I was and how much, you know, I changed in that 1 year. And I guess the other reason was to, in a way, kind of prove to myself that I can be as confident as I want to be and make as many mates and have as much fun as I can.
And it looked like you were having a hell of a lot of fun all week.
Oh, yes, all week, Kevin.
Now, just for clarification for those that haven't heard yet, exactly how much weight did you lose?
All up about 65 kilos, although in the last week it's probably gone back down to 60 because, let's face it, the food I ate, oh, God.
Everyone gets a hibernation belly.
True.
So, just going back to you, Ash, what was your reason for coming down this year as and competing for your second year out of 3 years running?
Well, I was the Mr. West Oz Bear, so I was representing my club and state at national level, basically. And the reason I entered the West Oz competition was because I felt that in the last 2 years I matured and changed, once again, as Kieran was saying, as you know, and as a person, and I guess I could understand more of why I'm a bear, and you know. I thought I had what I needed to basically take out the title, to be honest.
Excellent. So what was your favourite part?
I knew you were going to say this.
Well, you should have prepared then.
As embarrassing it is as it is, my favourite part was meeting a lovely man who I quite enjoyed the time spending time with. But, you know, true to form, he lives basically on the other side of the world from me. So, oh, well, yes. But it was great while it lasted.
Fair enough. Kieran, your favourite part?
I had many favourite parts, but I guess one of the ones that kind of rings true in my mind at the moment is the moment after Mr. Cutler came back from his actual proposal with Tony and just seeing the joy in his face. I mean, he was absolutely white before he went on stage, absolutely red after he came off the stage in tears, and just getting to hug him and congratulate him and, you know, see how happy doing something so meaningful to him, you know, affects every one of us. I mean, fulfilling a fantasy like that on stage in front of everyone he loves, you know, just touched me so much, and I couldn't help but smile for the rest of the night. I was one happy, happy cub.
Awesome. You are listening to Joy 94.9 with the Cubby House, and we are joined by Kieran and Ash, our guests from Interstate this evening, wrapping up Hibernation 2011.
Now, don't forget that we also have an SMS topic that you can send in to us. Now, our topic tonight is, what is your favourite Southern Hibernation moment of all time? You can send that in on 0427-JOY-949, or you can also email that in to us at onair@joy.org.au.
This is the Cubby House live on Joy 94.9. We are doing our Southern Hibernation wrap-up of 2011. Our SMS topic, if you'd like to send it in on 0427-JOY-949, is what is your favourite Southern Hibernation moment of all time?
It's almost as if you can't get the title out. We haven't had that, you know, recently, have we?
I know. Now, we are joined in the studio by Ash and Kieran, two competitors of the title of Mr. Mr. Australasia.
It's not so easy,
Bear.
Is it?
Shut up.
Yeah. Mr. Australasian Bear.
Now, one of the titles that was won by you, Ash, was Mr. Congeniality. And we're just curious as to know, what did you do for the other contestants to consider yourself so congenial?
I honestly did not expect it. I just was being myself, and apparently making everyone laugh was enough. I constantly joke. I'm never serious. I did on 7:30 in the morning when we're waiting for Kieran to show up for the interviews, and everyone was very tired. I volunteered to go around the corner and get everyone a coffee, but that was mostly because I needed coffee. Other than that, I suppose Fraser and I put on a good show backstage, maybe. Yeah, that's about it, yeah.
Photos never to be posted.
I need to get my hands on this backstage footage.
All right, well, considering you did come runner-up, we're curious to know, if you had actually got the title, what would it mean to you?
It would have been pretty awesome. I guess it would have validated a lot. The fact that I chose to spend $600 to fly here because my flight was cancelled just to get here for the competition, basically, that would have made it all worth it. and I would have, you know, had an excuse to travel the world competing in international competitions, which would have been fun. But I guess it just would have meant that I'd done my state proud, and, you know, and I gained respect in the community, I think, which was, you know, it's something that I was looking for.
Is there anything specifically you would have done with the title?
Apart from competing internationally and representing Australia, I probably just would have lauded it over people, mostly.
But you do that now anyway.
Yes, true, true. And I probably would have just done what I've done with my West Oz title, and that's basically just been a spokesperson for the community and, you know, gotten out there in radio and newspapers and things, and just done what I think was needed in the community, especially in WA, and that was just a bit of a public face and, you know, get it out there in the community, let people know what Bears are about.
That's fair enough. And now, Kieran, considering that you come from Queensland, and I know there's been a lot of natural disasters kind of hundering mm-hmm. around the state, curious to know, if would you have used your title if you had you actually won the competition to help with relief funds for that, or would you have gone tried something else?
Well, my kind of spiel, I thought long and hard about this, and I decided that had I actually won the comp, I really wanted to kind of put along a message of health. I know in our community, sexual health is quite a paramount issue that we do cover quite a bit, but I don't see as much work being done on, I guess, physical health. Mm-hmm. I mean, as Bears and Cubs, we are bigger boys. We love our big bellies, our big thighs, and everything that comes with admiring them. But we kind of let the issue of health kind of fall at the wayside. We don't consider the ramifications, or we put those kinds of ramifications in the back of our minds. And I thought, being a Cub who recently has lost so much weight, I really wanted to try and put that mentality in people's minds that, yes, we are big boys and we're happy to be big boys, but we can still be healthy and active if we just take maybe an hour out of our day to do a bit of exercise, because you have no idea how much healthier you would be by just, you know, eating a little bit healthier and doing 30 minutes a day of exercise.
So, Kieran, I have to ask, you obviously didn't win the title. Do you feel you can still do this even without the title?
I think I can, and I'm going to give it my best bloody shot.
Good. We'll be watching you to see what you come up with. I'm mm-hmm. excited.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it is about that time of the night where we get a listener of the week in and to answer a few questions. But seeing as we've already got one in, why don't we line him up? Mr. Ash Unicum, would you like to be our listener of the week?
Hooray.
We promise not to be gentle with you.
Ooh, excellent.
Sweet. Now, the first question, which we haven't alluded to yet, is how old are you?
I am 25.
Available or unavailable?
I am completely available.
Now, for those that may not have been at Southern Hibernation to see your fantasy section, what superpower would you like to have?
I would like to... Well, I don't actually want to be Wolverine. That was my fantasy. I want Wolverine to do me, basically.
So your superpower is to have Wolverine do you?
Now, if I had a superpower, I reckon it would be the ability to get whatever I wanted just by blinking at people and fluttering my eyes.
Fair enough.
Yes. Okay. What is your ideal employment?
I am studying nursing at the moment, so I can't wait to be a nurse. But I also love coffee more than anything, and I'm a barista at the moment. I think ideally owning my own cafe and working in that.
Awesome. Where's the weirdest place you've had sex? Polectulist, go on.
Your dad's bed. Bam.
That's for real, not yeah. for play.
Okay. Point yes, made. What's your favourite item of clothing?
I really enjoy my newly acquired harness.
Who would you most like to have sex with?
Hugh Jackman is Wolverine.
Would you date yourself, and why?
I wouldn't date myself because I'm too young for myself, but I'd probably put myself on lay-by 15 years' time. We'll see what happens.
Lay-by. Charming. I won't even bother asking this question, sexually, what melts your butter, because we already know. It's daddy meat.
Daddy yes. meat is my favourite
so,
treat.
So, what could you not live without?
Coffee and daddies.
And finally, do you prefer organisational chaos?
I like organised chaos.
Awesome, awesome. Yes.
That was a cop-out, wasn't it?
No. Just a little bit.
Not at all. Not at all. Now, we are at the Cuppy House on Joy 94.9. We are talking with Kieran and Ash of Southern Hibernation contestants for the 2011.
Vic Bear. Bears is a social group for men in Melbourne and beyond who identify as being part of the Bear community. If you're a down-to-earth guy looking for fun and like-minded men like yourself, Vic Bears is the group for you. From dinners to bowling, camping to clubbing, you're sure to find something to get your paws on. Log on to vicbears.org.au.
Did you hear that, CSA? That was hot.
Finally, they're actually putting it with us. You know, the Bear show of Joy 94.9, the Cubby House.
I want to be a part of that group. Oh, wait, I am.
Yes.
That was such an insincere laugh, Cookie. You get 5 demerits for that.
Uh-huh. Says the Wrangler.
Yes.
You're right, I'm not capable of humour. I don't have a soul, according to you.
Well, let's put that challenge to the test, shall we? I think Kevin's come up with his own sketch of humour as well.
Oh, I don't admit that I have humour. After a week of very, very little sleep, my humour is off-centre even more than usual.
So come on.
But I do have a little thing that I put together. It's called The 12 Days of Hibernation. I apologise for my voice. I don't sing at Berriokies, and you'll all find out why very shortly. Even though there were 8 days, this is The 12 Days of Hibernation. By the last day of hibernation, I managed to see 12 different raffles, 11 secret sauces, 10 yumcha tables brimming, 9 nude contestants, 8 days of drinking, 7 ice skaters slipping, 6 random snoggers, 5 cock rings, 4 broken jockstraps, 3 rounds of bingo, 2 bouts of bear flu, and a ranger that made everybody cry.
Aww. Now, for everybody playing at home, what is bear flu?
I would consider it to be the cold that comes after hibernation, but of course, because all the bears get it, it's just bear flu.
It is the super flu that gets combined when all the bears from interstate come down to Melbourne and infect us. That's what it is.
And on the subject of coming to Melbourne, Chris and Andy from Number 8 Media actually came to Melbourne from New Zealand. How's that for a segue?
That was very well done, Jack.
Lame.
If you were at any of the events at Hibernation, you probably would have noticed Christopher with his camcorder recording the entire event, following actually Arthur, the winner of our Cubby House Pieces of My Heart award.
And we actually brought them into the studio after almost all said and done and asked them, what the hell was it for?
This is the Cubby House on Joy 94.9. This is Christopher Banks and Andy Jafflin from Number 8 Films.
We welcome Chris and Andy from Number 8 Films into the studio. Welcome in, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
Now, we're here at the end of Southern Hibernation. You guys have been going around filming a lot of what's been going on. I'm just curious, why?
Shall I start?
Passing the camcorder around.
Yeah, you know, we film everything, you know. It's our lives are filmed. We have been making gay-themed films now for a number of years, and just as of this year, we're starting to move into making feature-length documentaries. And we've been at Southern Hibernation this week making part of one of those, which is following the story of one of the contestants from New Zealand who came over for Southern Hibernation, Arthur, also known as Arthur Bear.
Arthur?
Yeah. Everyone has sort of kind of like superhero names in the bear community, don't they? They're sort of... X bear or Y bear or what are you?
We call him the Ginger Ninja.
I'm just Jack.
Oh, okay. Oh, but not just, I mean, this is going to be really great for radio, but just Jack, you know, from Will and Grace, you know, the thing he does. So we're doing a documentary about Arthur. He's a 20-year-old bear. He doesn't like to be called a cub.
Well, I don't blame you. If you've ever seen Arthur, you actually have to look at his photo and remove the beard to actually see that he's 20.
Yeah, he's very wise and mature beyond his years, and he has had a rural upbringing, and he's just recently, at this stage in his life, looking at moving into, you know, the big city, as it were. But he's at a really interesting transitional phase in his life, you know, around moving into a relationship, moving into, you know, a larger city, making career decisions. And also, I mean, he's been out for a couple of years, but he's now kind of really starting to be a lot more open with his family. And now, of course, you know, entering competitions like Mr. Australasia Bear, you know, which, you know, you can't kind of get more out there. than some of the things that people do at these sort of competitions. So it was a really interesting time of his life to document. And on top of that, with Number 8 Films, we're very committed to telling untold stories. And the types of stories that we often see told about gay men are sort of about sort of 20-year-old twinks in New York or Hollywood. And they're sort of their romantic dilemmas. And was really interested in telling stories about gay men from different types of backgrounds who can... I mean, I think the thing about Arthur is that he has a very strong sense of self. And I thought that, or I know, that there are a lot of other men out there, not just his age, but older, that would really identify with him and his story. And I mean, I've met a lot of them here in Melbourne. You know, I've been really surprised by just amongst the contestants at Southern Hibernation how many came from or come from rural backgrounds themselves. And, you know, we never see these sort of stories of these people represented on screen. And it's heterosexuals take it for granted, because they kind of go to the movies every week and kind of see Julia Robertson's kind of romantic stories, and that's them. Whereas gay men are in a constant state of translation every time they go to the movies. They're trying to, you know, they kind of think, oh, that's kind of like my life. But, you know, when you see a film that is that actually really hits you where you live, and it's about you and your relationships and your community and the lens through which you see the world, it's almost like you're seeing a film for the first time, you know?
You mentioned this, what you're recording at Southern Hibernation is only part of the story. What's the other parts of the story that you're going to cover in this particular documentary?
Well, we're kind of looking at his life journey to date, really. And yes, he is only 20, but the thing is that if you take through a lot of the issues around kind of growing up as a young gay man, which we've seen covered in different ways, and you know, there's been a lot of coming out fictional movies, for example. But, you know, the experience of growing up gay in a rural environment, and, you know, being, you know, a very masculine guy who's a rugby player, who's not, you know, a traditional gay, as it were, the journey is very different, because it's not outwardly obvious that you're gay, and you find a different... you go through a different path, and also finding your way into the bear community, which is traditionally thought to be a, you know, a haven for older men as well. I mean, the interesting about Arthur is because he was sort of an early developer, you know, he was nicknamed Sasquatch at school. he was a bear before he knew what bears were. You know, he had his school holidays, you know, he grew the big beard and then kind of very angrily kind of shaved it off when the term started, because he wasn't allowed to have a beard at school. And then, you know, through the internet, he discovered that this community existed. And then when he sort of went to study at university in his nearest large city being Christchurch in the South Island, which has a very strong bear community, and he became part of that. So it's about, yeah, basically about him growing up and discovering that identity and seeing where he goes from here, because, I mean, this is not the end of the story. This documentary is not coming out till 2014. So we actually have quite a bit of time now to see how he adapts to life in a larger city and what happens to him in terms of relationships and so forth.
How did you actually end up finding Arthur?
We met Arthur during Bear New Zealand Week in February, because he'd come up because he'd won Mr. Canterbury Bear. And he was competing in Mr. Urge Bear, which is the Auckland Bear competition. And we sort of met him as part of that. And as I say, we're making a number of feature-length documentaries. We've got one that's coming out next year about bear artist Christophe Yannin, who's a French artist who lives in New Zealand. And we'd thought this could be quite an interesting little short to accompany that. But as I got chatting to Arthur and found out more about his background and the uniqueness of that in terms of what we have not seen in gay film before, I thought, here's a guy with a really interesting story to tell. He's an interesting personality. He's, you know, quiet, but he's quite a deep thinker. And I thought a lot of people would identify with this guy. And I saw a larger story in there on which, you know, that his trip to hibernation was just a part of his journey rather than the whole point of it.
Now, your partner in filming in crime has been very quiet lately.
It's because I've been talking incessantly this last 38 minutes.
I'm assuming you guys work together in doing the whole process of the filmmaking industry.
Yeah, so we've made 3 short films together to date, and as Chris said, we've got a number of feature projects on, and Chris is the writer director and I'm the producer slash cameraman for a lot of the documentary work. So yeah, we've got quite a body of work behind us and we've got quite a lot coming up.
So how does a documentary come together?
Well, it's in some ways it's a little bit like a narrative film, because you still have to work out your storyline, your beats, your high points, your low points. You still have to work out a story that's going to be engaging to your audience. And when you actually develop the story, you work out your character, you work out where their journey is, you end up with a story structurally similar to a narrative film.
So do you do this just out of your own money and resources?
The first 2 films were the 2 short films that we did, Teddy and Communication, were self-funded. The most recent one we did was called The Colonel's Outing, where we had a major sponsor come behind us from the Mental Health Foundation, who was part of the Out of the Blue Depression campaign. And we're not really in a position where we can afford to self-fund anymore, so we are always looking for sponsorship opportunities and with our partners getting behind us so that we can actually get these films onto the screen.
As part of the filmmaking industry, what is the most entertaining part for you guys in terms of from start to finish?
Well, for me, it is the whole process of start to finish. It's the fact that this genesis of an idea to seeing it on the big screen, entertaining an audience, is a huge buzz. It's quite nerve-wracking seeing it up on the big screen for the first time. But because as a producer, I need to look at all the facets of the production, and there's quite a lot to do to get it all together. And seeing it stitched together and edited by Chris and then have this product at the end is a really satisfying and very is motivating as well, because it makes you want to carry on with the next production. So it just keeps you driving, and we are constantly supporting each other to keep these projects going.
If people were to find out where your artwork and your films are actually acquired from, where would they actually go to do so?
Well, our website is number8films.com, the word number, 8films, and that's got all of our previous films, our production schedule that's coming up. We also hold film nights in Auckland, so we've got quite a lot of engaging things for the audience to look at. And we also have a Facebook page that people can join, which is Number 8 Films as well, and can stay in touch with what's happening with us. Because, our first feature, as Chris mentioned earlier, with Christoph Janin, that's going to be coming out next year. That will be our first feature together. So that's a pretty major one that's coming up pretty soon.
So do you have any working titles for this project that you're working on at the moment, or that you're shooting at the moment?
We do. They're only working titles at the moment. I've just bought the domain names for a couple of them. Shall I say the first one?
Yeah.
So the first one we're looking at on Christoph is called Christoph's Ark. For several reasons. One, because of his journey in his artwork, but also he's moving from bear art into different facets of art. And one of the pieces that struck Chris and I was this piece that he did on Joan of Arc, and he's starting to focus a little bit on women, and we thought, well, that would be quite an interesting comparison to the title of the film. So at the moment, that is our working title for our first feature.
So one of the feature films, which one would you most like to probably illustrate lately that you've recently produced?
Well, I think that the one thing that we've got that we're promoting majorly at the moment is our most recent short film, which is The Colonel's Outing, which is currently on the festival circuit. And I think this weekend it's playing in San Francisco, which is the biggest and oldest gay film festival in the world. So that's a pretty big deal. And it's already had an honourable mention in Toronto Is it Toronto?
Turin.
Oh, sorry, Turin. Turin, yes. Which was its world premiere as well, so that's very exciting for us. And it's focusing on two older gentlemen who are war veterans who meet each other in a rest home, but the interfering matron doesn't like what she sees because these two old chaps bunking down together is not the done thing. And it looks at a two really engaging, wonderful characters you just don't get to see on screen, because it's so often about the younger generation coming to terms with their sexuality, as opposed to two guys in the twilight of their lives finding love. And that's a unique perspective on gay life.
Will there be opportunities for people to view this film outside of the festival circuit?
Oh yeah, once later on in the year, we'll be bringing out on DVD. All of our short films are out on DVD, which you can get at the website as well. And you can also download them. So if you're abroad and you don't want the whole DVD, you can actually just download it over the net. So there are plenty of ways to actually get to see the film.
Awesome. Well, from number 8 films, Chris and Andy, thank you very much for joining us here on the Cubby House podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Here on Joy 94.9, we have been asking you on the SMS and email line, what is your favourite Southern Hibernation moment of all time? I believe we have a fair few answers.
As usual, we've had some brilliant answers.
Awesome.
Nathan Little comments, seeing a man in a bear costume dancing out the front of WOW.
We're not talking about Wet on Wellington, are we?
Yes.
Yes, actually, we are.
Oh, I meant to say you're not talking about World of Warcraft.
Well, no.
And this is why we don't let rangers run the country.
Yes.
Nathaniel Beaumont says, well, I went to my first ever event ever at the Laird. Well done, Nathaniel. Or bear like it all. My most awkward moment on Saturday was the safety cone butt plug dildo thing. Though I loved the yum-cha, I ate the most out of everyone on my table.
Congratulations. And yes, I think some people were actually quite in awe of, or in shock. Yes,
and with a healthy appetite like that, you'll fit in the bears, definitely.
Yes, yes. On the SMS line of 0427JOY949, what did we receive?
We've had one from Rob Cam.
Aww,
Rob.
Love you, Rob.
Go get some sleep. But anyway, his best Southern Hibernation moment, having a single day's rest before starting the scheming for Southern Hibernation 2012.
That man just works tirelessly around the clock. I mean,
we need to tie him down and stop him at some point.
And we've got to start working on Midsummer. That's what's around the corner.
We've also had Andy write in saying, seeing the Men on Men art competition for the first time, always a great event around Southern Hibernation.
Very much so. I think I might be entering next year.
Oh, excellent. And we've had Ant say, my favourite Southern Hibernation moment was meeting the most awesome bunch of furry and accepting people. I now have some great friends.
Aww.
Thank you, Ant.
It's all touchy-feely again.
I have your number, Ant. I'll be finding you.
We've still got a little bit of time left on the Cubby House Live on Joy 94.9. You can send in your SMSs to 0427JOY949 or email us at onair@joy.org.au.
You are with the Cubby House for another 5 minutes on Joy 94.9. We are talking all things hibernation and that it was. Now, just quickly, Kevin, I believe you have a few things you'd just like to highlight as far as the things you enjoyed from hibernation this year.
Some of them have already been brought up, but I'll bring up two that are the main ones. I went around, especially on the meat rack in Mr. Australasian Bear and Roundup, and took photos of myself with all my favourite cubs and bears, and realised that, damn, there are a lot of awesome guys out there. And the other one was, and I apologise to whoever it was, but on den night, I had a few to drink, and I walked into the Laird bathroom and grabbed the ass of the guy leaning over, thinking it was someone I knew. As soon as he looked up and looked back at me, I realised it was a total stranger.
Congratulations.
Ooh.
I'm sure he didn't mind.
He didn't. He said, I'm not complaining.
Well, I'll join you in that sentiment, and I can happily say I got my slut pride back this week.
Yeah, okay.
You're just going to leave it at that, are you?
No, I'm not.
We don't want details.
I'm not kiss and telling. But I do believe, Kieran, you've asked for a particular moment to thank someone very special for you this week.
Yes, I can say this for myself and for the other 8 contestants.
And committee members.
And committee members and crew. everyone. I would love to thank Peter Callahan.
Hear, hear.
He was such a wonderful guy to all of us, especially on the interview day, just before we actually got up in front of the panel. He calmed us all down, chatted to us, so organized, so professional, so loving, and so much fun to hug.
He gives the best hugs.
Yes.
For the record, Peter Callahan is the contestant coordinator for Southern Hibernation 20... Well, just Southern Hibernation every year. That
slash unofficial fluffer.
Oh, he does a good job.
Well, he keeps on moaning that he's never doing the fluffing every year.
Daddy hugs give me a hard-on, so that's all he needs to do.
He just needs to show a little bit more initiative, I say.
I believe we're wrapping this show up, gentlemen.
We are indeed. We have been the Cubby House giving you the wrap-up of Southern Hibernation 2011. Now, if you'd like more information, we are continuing some of our discussions on the blog, which is thecubbyhouse.net.au, and we've been posting all the photos Kevin and I have been taking on the website, and they'll be seen through our page, The Cubby House Project, on Facebook.
You can also find neat things like me in caution tape wrapped up like Lady Gaga singing Poker Face for karaoke.
Woohoo! I don't want to know what you were doing with a disco stick.
We all know what he was doing.
We all saw what he was doing.
I'm taking that disco stick for laboratory testing.
I wouldn't bother. One of the most interesting things that also happened to the Cubby House during hibernation was that we got invited onto Hide and Seek with Dean Beck last week.
Yes.
And we got interviewed.
That was a much excitement activity.
Well, I'm happy.
I'm entirely happy.
And we're going to move on from that.
You can find that on joy.org.au. The podcast for that show isn't out, but it should be within the next few days.
And don't forget to like us on Facebook. You know you want to.
Indeed. Now, next week's show, I do believe we are talking something physical, and that's all I'm going to say on that. And if you'd like to contact us throughout the week, you can email us at podcast@thecubbyhouse.net.au. We'd love to hear your feedback. I hear that gets Kevin off quite regularly.
Oh, damn straight it does.
And we are going to be celebrating the next couple of hours on Joy 94.9 with Alan and Soul Time. Now, we would like to make correction for anybody who's listened to Alan following our show. A cubby house is not in a tree. That is a tree house. So cubby houses are actually on the ground. We are walking out.
You could say that the cubby house is very down to earth.
Exactly. Like
oh,
bears.
Jack. Such a dag. Besides, this cubby house is kind of decked out with leather and chains, and I'm pretty sure Cookie can fit his sling in it.
Indeed. I don't particularly want to be hanging that from a tree.
All right, I'm going to cut this debauchery off now. Here's the closing theme.
This is Cookie.
That's not it. It's good to be on the air, Melbourne.
We love you, Jack.
See you from Cookie.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Jack.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.